The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Many of us, of course, enjoy our shopping, retail therapy, as they say, and many businesses and products available in Singapore. We are quite spoiled for choice, in fact, and this means that standing out from the crowd plays an important part in consumer shopping habits and brand loyalty. Now, there's a recent report by Nielsen showing that brand switching... Yep, it's a new trend among Singaporeans, and this trend is also global, with only, get this, 8% of consumers surveyed considering themselves committed loyalists to their favorite products. So how does the marketing of business help retain customer loyalty, and how much money should businesses set aside for brand loyalty? Well, I have a lot of questions to ask our guest this morning, Bernard Ho, senior lecturer from the School of Film and Media Studies at Ngee Ann Polytechnic, joining us here on The Breakfast Huddle. Good morning. I'm going to call you Bernard.
Please, thank you. Good morning.
Just because for our listeners off air, Bernard told me not to call him Mr. Ho. Bernard, why are we seeing more of this consumer brand switching trend? It says here it's a new thing, but is it a new thing?
More apparent, I think, these days because of social media and so on. But I think brand switching, the disloyalty to brands isn't entirely new. If you look at all the ads for FMCG, fast-moving consumer goods, mm-hmm. all the time, it's like, think of your typical toothpaste ad, for example. They will say, like, you know, 89% of our consumers like this taste or something like that. They give you the motivation to buy their products if you are an existing customer. But if you are not, then there is some motivation to give it a try. So I think there are certain, I think as outlined in the Nielsen article, there's the propensity to brand switch, right? To switch mm-hmm. brands for certain fast-moving consumer goods categories.
Well, I mean, on a personal note, when I see something new, I want to give it a try.
Yes, yes.
And I might, you know, stay away from my regular brand for once and try something new. If I like it, then it's good, right?
Right. Yeah, most, again, it depends on the consumer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, your
motivations.
Some
are more adventurous than the other. And it also depends on what brand.
Exactly. Okay, if you look at it from the consumer standpoint, some people are loyal to brands for a variety of reasons. Some may like a particular soap, for example, if mm-hmm. because of sensitivity, right. skin sensitivity. So they really cannot be too adventurous, right? Mm-hmm. So when they finally find that brand that suits them, they may stick to that. So that's one motivation for why some people are loyal. Mm-hmm. Then there are situations where you are, the nearest shop, for example, carries those, and that's the only brand they carry. So maybe then, you know, when there's choice, right, then people are, again, depending on which sector, if the products are not too expensive, for example, there's less risk in giving something a shot. Then there's novelty factor, if they're new, if it's, you know, new to the market and something fresh, something appealing. So people might switch.
All right, now let's look at this Nielsen survey. The top category in the survey that is most prone to brand switching will be snacks and dairy products, followed by shampoo and skincare. That's kind of surprising to me with the skincare, really. Why these products, though, have the highest rates of disloyalty?
Well, I think many of them are perhaps supermarket brands, right? So that, again, like when your typical supermarket experience is like you're looking at an array of brands available. And again, your purchase decisions are based on maybe there are some that are packaged like buy two and you get a third for free,
right. mm-hmm.
you know, those offers, right? So I think sometimes it depends on the offer that's being made. So some people, if you're very budget conscious, for example,
right.
and you see that this is my regular brand, but it's a standalone, but the brand next to it, which is offering a two for one.
Or a discount.
Or a discount. Mm-hmm. So that makes, that is an incentive to switch, to give it a try. So, and if you're not particularly loyal to your brand for whatever reason, then you will say, okay, fine, I'll give it a shot, right?
I mean, to be honest, there are some products out there you don't need to be loyal to because
exactly.
it doesn't really affect. I mean, apart from the skincare, which you mentioned before, because some people might get skin allergies and
yes,
it's quite
exactly.
sensitive, but dairy products, for example. I do that in the grocery store. If it's like $3.50 for two cartons of milk, I'll get that over the regular brand that I usually get.
You are stretching your dollar, right? There's a sense that you're getting more bang for the buck, right?
Milk is milk. They all come from the same producing countries. How bad can it be?
Yeah, but some people are very fussy. Maybe they sense particular taste, perhaps. They can taste, you know, this particular milk has a bit of that, I don't know.
Tastes like cow's milk.
I don't know, maybe. A bit salty or, you know, yeah, things like that, yeah.
All right. Now, in terms of Singapore and Singaporeans, where do we stand in comparison to other countries? Because when you look at it, okay, in America, I'm sure they have a wider variety of choices than we have here in Singapore. So where do we stand in that?
I think we are prone to, you know, the shopping decisions, the purchase decisions is again swayed by the availability of brands that are out there. So I think we are no different from many countries where people are, again, it's part of the competitive landscape. It's not just dependent on the consumer's reactions to what's being offered, right? The brands are not sitting still either. They're all offering, they're all fighting for a slice of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone is working hard at building their market share, it really depends on what's being offered, right? So if there are compelling offers, two for the price of one, or you're getting special deals, special discounts, more varieties of flavors, more of everything, basically. And again, like I said, if consumers are happy with the trial, you know, they make that, there is still some degree of risk, regardless of how cheap the products are.
Mm-hmm.
When I take the plunge and I buy a new product, a brand that I've not used before, but then I discover, hey, you know, it
feels good.
It feels good. I get more value. I might stick to this for a while, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Also, another factor, as you mentioned earlier, the availability of the product that you want in the shops that are around you that are convenient for you to get to plays a factor in this, right? Because there are some grocery stores in neighboring places which don't carry a wide range of products.
Yes, that's why brand managers must ensure that they, you know, if you want to build your market share, you must ensure that your brand is
visible.
Found, visible and found.
Okay.
Yeah.
But isn't this more the retailers who are like this chain of supermarkets have a big store in a bigger mall, but in the neighborhood mall, they can't possibly carry all the brands?
Yeah. That's one reason why you have to make sure that even... It depends on how hard you want to fight for the market share, right? So the more determined you are, the more you will ensure that even a 7-Eleven might carry that particular, you know. And so it helps to know what sells, what's moving. And if it's moving, then you ensure that more of your distribution points will have that particular product. So I think you have to work with your brand strategy.
Talking to Professor Bernard Ho, from the senior lecturer from the School of Film and Media Studies
at NEOM. Promoted.
I have a tendency to do that on the show, Bernard. Anyway, so, okay, now I know that the cost of getting a new customer to buy your product is a lot more than trying to retain a customer. Yep. That's true in all sectors of the industry, right? So what should businesses do then to retain customers?
Well, first up, it helps if they regularly survey their customers to know exactly if they are satisfied with the products and service, why they are satisfied, and to make sure that they always deliver on their promises. So if your product says that it helps straighten hair, if it helps makes your bedsheet smell better, whatever the promises that are being made,
you should deliver.
You deliver, and not only deliver, but maybe exceed on those promises, and your customers will have a tendency to say, look, you know, I'm perfectly happy with the products I'm using. Then it tends to keep that loyalty. It helps as long as you deliver on your promises. And of course, never be in a situation where you overpromise and end up under-deliver.
Deliver.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
My issue, and this is, again, a personal story that I wanted your input on. So you have a cable service provider, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't need my cable box. I don't need the cable service. I would want to retain a few channels. So they just told me, no, you can't. Just like that.
Right.
Another incident, mobile subscription. Same thing. It's like, I just want a little more to tie me up to the end of the month when I get, you know, new data again. And they said, no, you can't. I mean, for me, it seemed like this company just didn't try hard enough to get my loyalty.
I think, even though
I've been with you for a decade or more, it just made me switch.
It doesn't help that people are inflexible. If they want to bundle all these services together and they refuse to, I guess I think it also shows a trend, a clear trend. customers, consumers want flexibility. They want to be able to have service. They want to have a buffet and again, the choice.
And some might be willing to pay slightly more. They know it's going to cost more,
exactly.
But you know, it makes more sense to them. But when the company doesn't provide this sort of flexibility, they lose out customers.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. That inflexibility to meeting the, you know, how you want to package your products and services. It's like the buffet versus the a la carte kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. if you're that inflexible, then it's very off-putting to the customer for sure. And they may feel that they're paying for things that they don't really want. They don't need, and so on. And worst of all, if the service provider comes across as not listening.
That is exactly how I felt.
Exactly.
Because I'm sure I wasn't the only one.
Yep. If you feel that they're not listening to you, they don't hear you, they don't listen to you, and therefore they don't respond to you, mm-hmm. then guess what? You know, you're primed for a switch.
Right.
For sure.
Okay, so in that sense, then how should businesses of any kind invest in... Well, not just marketing, really, but the service of trying to retain customers and brand loyalty.
I think it helps to get feedback, right? It helps to listen to the sales staff, feedback from customers and the salespeople interacting with customers as well to see what are the services, what are the things, products and services that are moving, right, and why, and what are not moving and why. And again, having a finger on the pulse of your customers, basically to really get under the skin of your consumer and then to deliver on those needs. You can't just push services out.
It's not a case of, they used to say, build it and they will just come.
No.
Not anymore.
You're not alone. You have competitors, mm-hmm. right? If your competitors are working harder to understanding the real needs of your consumers, you know, it's a matter of creating widgets and things and hope that they sell. I don't think that's really marketing. That's just, it's a big gamble, I think, if you work on that. And on that premise, you know, you make something and you think that the whole world will just run, you know,
right.
Based on what? You need to know your statistics, you need to know your facts, you need to know what is the pull factor, what's compelling, right?
Right.
You need to know that.
And consumers are a lot more savvy now.
Oh,
they know
yes.
where to find things if
exactly.
you're not going to provide what they want.
Exactly.
Okay, so another point we look at when it comes to brand loyalty is mm-hmm. the price.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just the cheapest is the way to go.
It is.
Because also based on experience, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will agree with this one, you may be loyal to a particular brand, a service, an airline, a company, but are they loyal to you? I mean, these companies, are they loyal to you? Because you use their products, but what do you get in return?
Mm.
There are some who offer, okay, let's just, you know, say they offer reward points, but then these points can be devalued after a few years.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's sort of, yeah, I'm loyal to you, but you're not loyal to me. What's in it for me?
Correct. I think that happens when some companies want to move up the value chain. They start saying like, let's go up market, let's sell, you know, let's switch, let's go after a more affluent consumer group, for example. So they may end up like raising prices, putting in more bells and whistles and so on. And in doing that, they forget that they have a very maybe established customer loyal base, a very established loyal customer base, sorry. So that happens, you know. Again, companies must really find their real motivations. Why are they in business, right? Do they delight in delighting their customers, for example? Right? Do they want to deliver value and stick to this group, or do they want to chase a more affluent group? So they may have to know their business strategy, and they may have to fine-tune their branding and so on.
In a case like that, there are certain companies which would, for example, start off as having higher-end clientele,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then will develop a secondary brand.
Yes, a different business line.
A different brand to get perhaps a younger, more budget-conscious consumer.
Yes.
Is this a way to go then? Or?
Yeah, I think it has
helped. Does it confuse people? Does it cannibalize the other side?
It may. But I think a lot of big, I think fashion brands, I think they've done that. They've got a main line, the couture line, the top line, and then it filters down, right? So for people who want that the prestige of that particular brand, I don't think I want to promote any brands here, but you get the drift, right?
Right.
So you have a main line, and then you have subsidiary lines.
Trunk line or whatever
trunk,
they
exactly.
call it, right?
And they still give you that sense of quality, that sense of design and so on, but maybe more fashionable, more hip, a denim line or something like that. So it drills down, but the main branding is, the subsidiary branding is still mentioned. So you do know that this filters down from a major line, which is, and perhaps a more affordable one, mm-hmm. as well. So it gives you that sense that it is a prestigious brand, but at a more affordable price point.
What about the thought of perhaps some brands think that, hey, they're used to this anyway, they're going to stick to our brand because it's something they're used to using for such a long time. Is this still a valid strategy? It's risky
because as the article has correctly pointed out, that brand switching, brand disloyalty is the thing. It is a thing. It is a major concern. If you are really concerned about keeping your customers loyal, you need to know what their changing needs are, how they are changing, and so on. And again, emerging, you know, new market segments and so on. So you need to understand your customer base very well and cater to that. It's not about creating products and then hopefully they sell and hopefully we push. You need to be in such close touch with your consumers such that you do create products and services that sells.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
If your air conditioning or furnace stops working in the middle of the night, on a weekend or over a holiday, there's no reason to wait to get it fixed. Because Atlas Butler's always open and we never charge any overtime or after-hours fees.
The Atlas Butler family is here to keep your family safe and comfortable. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.